It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Republicans in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District are fighting hard to hold on to the seat House Speaker Paul Ryan has held for nearly two decades. As Laurel White reports, a former Ryan staffer is facing off in the race against a Democrat who's hoping to harness party enthusiasm to flip the seat.
Last year, millions of dollars started flowing into Wisconsin from all over the country with one purpose: defeat Paul Ryan in 2018. The money mostly went to Democrat Randy Bryce, an ironworker and union activist who had run and lost previous elections for state and local offices. But Bryce clearly struck a chord this time with his campaign announcement video released in June 2017.
I think it's time. Let's trade places. Paul Ryan, you can come work the iron, and I'll go to D.C.
Bryce's ad went viral. He got millions of dollars in out-of-state campaign contributions and the endorsement of Senator Bernie Sanders, who won Wisconsin's Democratic presidential primary in 2016. But almost a year later, the narrative changed when Paul Ryan dropped out of the race.
What I realize is, if I am here for one more term, my kids will only have ever known me as a weekend dad. I just can't let that happen.
Republicans chose Brian Stile, an attorney and member of the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, as their party's nominee for the seat. In an early campaign ad, Stile introduced himself as a conservative outsider who could bring Wisconsin-style politics to Washington.
Because I was raised right here in Janesville on Southeast Wisconsin-style values, I don't care much for Washington-style politics.
It's Stile's first campaign for office, but he's hardly a newcomer to GOP politics. He was once a staffer for Ryan and was a delegate at the Republican National Convention in 2016. Stile and his allies have tried to frame the race around Bryce's background. Republican groups have run ads pointing out that Bryce has been arrested 9 times for crimes including drunk driving and property damage. Joe Zepecki is a Democratic strategist who's worked on a number of campaigns in Wisconsin. He says Bryce has responded well to those attacks.
He's put it out there and said, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. You know what? We've got enough people with Ivy League credentials and who have never gotten in trouble in their whole life in Congress, and look where it's gotten us.
Not everyone agrees. Randy Bryce's own brother, James Bryce, supports Stile and even cut a TV ad on his behalf. Mark Grawl is a Republican strategist who's worked on statewide campaigns. He acknowledges Republicans are facing headwinds in the 2018 election, but says Stile has run a strong race in a GOP district.
I mean, I think he fits the district well. His background in manufacturing, I think, is a real positive right now. I think his work in the community with his family is something that is also a real positive, and I think a big contrast with Randy Bryce.
Bryce is trying to draw his own contrasts, comparing Stile's work as a corporate attorney to his own blue-collar background.
It's not about who's the more perfect person to represent you. It's about who understands the hardships that you're going to face in order to make your world a better place.
When it comes to issues, the two follow partisan divides seen elsewhere this election cycle. Bryce supports Medicare for All and the Affordable Care Act's protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Stile says more price transparency and increased use of health savings accounts would make the healthcare system better. The race doesn't have the national profile it once did, but millions of dollars are still being spent here. As Stile fights to hold on to a GOP district, and Bryce tries to harness Democratic enthusiasm to flip it. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now we turn to another race being watched, the U.S. Senate race. The race between incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin and her Republican challenger Leah Vukmir is heating up in the final weeks before the election. The two will meet in the first of three debates tonight at 6 o'clock at UW-Milwaukee. Are you an undecided voter in this race? What could either candidate say tonight that would win your support? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest in this segment of the program is David Cannon, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. David, thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
So how would you characterize the tone of the Senate race so far?
Well, it's been about like the other races we've seen around the country, pretty hard-hitting, a lot of negative ads. Both candidates are trying to make a positive case for their campaigns as well, but certainly you have to say that most of the ads that are being run have a negative tone, especially the outside ads. And this is going to be another one of these races where we see, you know, millions of dollars of outside spending being spent, and that those ads almost always are negative.
The two candidates will meet tonight for the first of three debates before the election. What should we be watching for tonight? What would be the biggest thing we should hope to see?
Well, I think one thing that's going to come up probably is the general tone of politics in Washington. I think we've seen in the last couple weeks with the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings and the whole debate about that, that our country is even more deeply polarized now than ever. And so I think there'll be a focus on that tone of politics. And like both Baldwin and Buchmeier are going to make an effort to try to say that, you know, they want to work with the other party and rise above that tone, because that's something that voters are hungry for right now. It's just a change from that kind of nastiness we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Are you surprised that there will be three debates between now and the election?
Well, they certainly are pumping them towards the end. Usually they're more spaced out. I mean, three is a pretty traditional number. Two or three debates in a Senate race is not unusual. I think what's unusual is to have all three of them, you know, clumped so close to the end of the election, and that is fairly unusual. But I think it's good for the voters in an election like this where there are still a fair number of undecided voters. And also the other key thing in a midterm election is getting people to the polls, that often we see turnout, you know, under 35% nationally. In Wisconsin, we're usually in the top, you know, two or three in the state in turnout, but still turnout lags well behind where it is in a presidential year. So one thing a debate like this can do is to try to get a little more voter interest, especially try to mobilize the base, is something we'll see both Buchmeier and Baldwin trying to do, I think.
I guess the reason for my question is that the debates tend to be better for the challenger than for the incumbent. What's the risk for Tammy Baldwin? What is the challenge for Leah Buchmeier, and what does she hope to gain?
Well, yeah, sometimes that certainly is the conventional wisdom, that the challenger has more to gain from a debate like this. And right now, Baldwin is pretty comfortably ahead in most polls. Most polls have her 10-11% ahead. So I think Baldwin is comfortable in the debate format like this, that she generally performs pretty well in debate. So I think she, you know, feels confident in her positions, enough confident to accept the three debates. And so I think, you know, Buchmeier clearly has more to gain here, because she's the one who's trailing, and she'll try to be, you know, making a case for why voters should try something different in this election.
One of the focal points of the race has been Senator Baldwin's handling of a situation at the Tomah VA hospital. What have we been hearing from the candidates here?
Well, right. There have been some tough back and forth ads on this one, where Buchmeier has accused Tammy Baldwin of a cover-up in the opioid overprescription problem at the VA hospital in Tomah. There's been counter-ads by the Baldwin folks that actually have had the family of one of the veterans who died at Tomah from a drug overdose saying that the TAC ad is unfair, and they want Buchmeier to pull that ad, and saying that Baldwin has worked hard to pass bipartisan legislation to fix the problem. So this has been a very intense issue, certainly, and one that I think that it's getting a fair amount of attention, certainly, in the campaign.
As our conversation continues on this race going forward here, we'll talk about the two candidates' positions relative to the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to be a United States Supreme Court Justice and the role of gender in the Senate race. That's still to come. Plus, your calls at 800-642-1234. David Cannon is a professor of political science at the UW-Madison. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin is heating up in the final weeks before the election. The two candidates, incumbent Democrat U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and her Republican challenger State Senator Leah Buchmeier, face each other in the first of three televised debates tonight at UW-Milwaukee. Are you an undecided voter in this race? And what could either candidate say tonight that would win your support? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. David Cannon is with us. He's a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So the confirmation process for Brett Kavanaugh is complete. He's now a justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. What have the two candidates been saying about the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh?
Well, Tammy Baldwin, of course, was very much opposed to the nomination pretty early on, and definitely was someone who was speaking out against the nomination, and also saying quite strongly she believed Dr. Ford's testimony of sexual assault. Whereas Leah Bookmeyer has been, you know, taking the more sort of mainstream Republican line on this, which is she would have supported his confirmation, and also then, you know, echoing some of the points made about not having any corroboration of any other witnesses and saying this is not fair to Judge Kavanaugh's legacy and his integrity and his long career that he's had on the court. And so this is a really polarizing issue right now. I think for the base, it's probably the issue that's galvanizing both Democrats and Republicans more than anything we've seen in the last month or two, that it really riled up the Democratic base initially. And now, just in the last week after President Trump came out and attacked Dr. Ford, it seems to have also now galvanized the Republican base in a way as an unfair attack. Now, given that Kavanaugh has been confirmed, you would think that perhaps the anger over him being on the court should perhaps motivate Democrats more than Republicans at this point, because Republicans were able to get their nominee. But we'll have to see how that plays out.
How is gender playing into to the Senate race, or is it not coming up at all?
Well, it seems to not, you know, come up as much as you might think, but I think it is something that probably it helps the Republicans, I think, having a woman running against Tammy Baldwin, because Baldwin has run very strong across the state and appealed not only to women, but it's done, you know, pretty well with male voters as well. And so to have Leah Bookmeyer running as a challenger against Tammy Baldwin could perhaps reduce the gender gap to some extent. And we'll, I think, see perhaps a record-sized gender gap nationally in this midterm election because of Kavanaugh, because of Donald Trump. And so to the extent that Leah Bookmeyer can reduce that gender gap for Republicans in Wisconsin, give them at least something of a chance to be able to have a competitive race against Tammy Baldwin.
Let's take a call from Mary, who joins us from Pewaukee. Mary, thanks for joining us on The Morning Show.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks, John. Thanks to your guest. What I wanted to bring up is I rarely even watch the commercials, any commercials, much less political, because I'm not going to get my education and information from them. Many times they are mudslinging, but with Leah Bookmeyer trying to blame, for instance, Tammy Baldwin, the current senator who's done a fine job, I'm going to look into her, what she has really done. It seems like many times the mudslinging comes from the right a little bit more, and in the Toma case, for instance, Tammy Baldwin certainly wouldn't do a cover-up and has not done a cover-up of what's going on with the you know, the medicine at the VA in Toma. Mm-hmm. So that's my point, is I don't think a whole lot of people actually get their education, or I hope they don't, for the people that really vote.
So, Mary, for you, ads don't make a difference. You do your own research.
Exactly, and okay. Listen to NPR and get the experts' advices.
Okay, well, thank you. David Cannon, does Mary describe, do you think, a typical voter, or do a lot of people really get their information from ads they see on TV?
Well, sadly, Mary is not the typical voter, and I applaud her, and I wish more voters were like Mary to do their own research and look into things and not believe everything they see on ads. Because one really important point she makes is that the ads typically will have like some kernel of truth, but then blow it up in a way that ends up being, you know, very misleading. And so to take that Toma example, you know, in one of the Bookmeyer ads, you know, basically the ad blames Tammy Baldwin for, you know, not looking into this quickly enough to save this the one veteran who died. Well, it turns out he died like a day after she got the report. And so there's no way that she could have possibly intervened quickly enough to, you know, prevent that specific death. And so that's the kind of thing that I think Mary's referring to, that often these ads are very misleading. Now, unfortunately, research has shown that these ads do work, that people do pay attention to ads. I think it's less so today than it would have been, say, 6-8 years ago, because more people now are, you know, on the internet, on social media, and so the actual broadcast ads are not as effective as they were, say, 6-8 years ago.
Well, and a lot of people are using digital video recording equipment, and, you know, if you have a TiVo box, for example, you can hit a button and skip right through the entire ad cluster and get back to the show.
Right,
so a lot more of that as well.
No doubt. And that's one reason, another reason that the broadcast ads aren't as effective as they used to be.
So we know that there's a lot of money being spent on this. You mentioned that a lot of it is coming from outside groups. How much money are we talking about? Do we have a sense of the total number of dollars being spent and where it's coming from?
Yeah, we do. So the last reporting period for the FEC, they still haven't posted the September 30th reporting period. So the last we have is from July 25th. But even as of July 25th, Tammy Baldwin had raised over $22 million, and Vukmir's campaign was just getting going at that point, and she'd only raised about $2 million. I'm sure those numbers can be much higher by the September reporting period. But the outside spending already at the end of July, Tammy Baldwin had over $7.5 million spent against her and only $1.7 spent in favor of her. And so the outside dollars are going to be well over double that by the time we get to the end of the race on Election Day.
The latest Marquette University Law School poll released mid-September had Baldwin with an 11-point lead, which was a big bump from the month previous. A new Marquette poll is set to release this week. Do you think anything's happened in recent weeks that will move the needle for either candidate, David Cannon?
Yeah, I would expect the numbers should stay probably in the same range, or low double digits, high single digit lead for Baldwin. Yeah, it was 53-42 last time. And one thing that's noteworthy about that number for mid-September is only 5% undecided. You know, that many weeks out before the election, which is pretty low. So most voters have made up their mind already. You know, often in a race you'll see 8, 9, 10% undecided still in September, but the fact that we're down to just a 5% undecided already a couple of weeks ago means this is a race that I think getting a lot of attention, but also voters are pretty locked in terms of who they prefer, so probably won't see too much movement in this next poll that's released.
What could either candidate do at this point to attract that small sliver of undecided voters to their side of the ballot?
Well, I think the more crucial thing actually is something we touched on earlier, which is voter turnout. That at this point, not that many people are changing their minds. The key thing is getting your voters to the polls. I think it's one thing that both Democrats and Republicans are focused on here in Wisconsin, but also nationally. Just given that most people don't vote in midterm elections nationally, this is where the focus is going to be over the last several weeks, is getting your voters to the polls.
Which race is the bigger driver of getting people to the polls, this one or the governor's race?
That's a great question. It's not that often that you have two really hotly contested elections like this. And I would say they're probably both, you know, equally motivating for most voters. And like the Baldwin-Buchner race, the Walker-Evers race also is getting a lot of attention, but also has both sides pretty much locked in here. That, you know, Scott Walker has been around long enough that every voter in Wisconsin has an opinion whether they like him or don't like him. So you're not going to be seeing too many voters changing their minds, especially in the governor's race, I think. And there, again, it's going to be all about voter turnout.
Yeah, and well, I guess there's some question as to who helps who more. Does Baldwin help Evers more? Does Evers help Baldwin more? Same thing with Vukmir and Governor Walker, and those are certainly things we could probably spend another hour talking about, but we don't have time, so we won't. What else are you going to be watching for in tonight's debate? You said that there would be some talk about how to work with the other party and maybe heal some of the divide. What else are you looking for in tonight's debate?
Well, one thing I would expect Tammy Baldwin to do is trying to link Vukmir to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not popular in Wisconsin. The latest Marquette poll had him at 42% favorable, 54% unfavorable, which is pretty comparable to the national numbers. And nationally, and here in Wisconsin as well, you see in the midterm elections, voters wanting to have a check on Donald Trump. So even if Trump isn't on the ballot, he's very much a looming presence in this election. And Democrats are trying to get their voters motivated by this idea of we need something to stop Donald Trump. And so I would expect Tammy Baldwin to try to link Vukmir to Trump and to say that, you know, she would be a voice in support of the president. I wouldn't be surprised if Vukmir tries to distance herself a bit from the president. But it's a difficult balancing act for her because she doesn't want to alienate that strong base of Trump supporters. And so she has to be pretty careful how she does that. She wants to try to portray herself as an independent voice, yet not alienating the Trump supporters.
David Cannon, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Good to be with you.
David Cannon is a professor of political science at the UW-Madison. Coming up next, we check in on how the state is addressing the spread of chronic wasting disease and what the governor hopes to do about it. I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.